Amen. Yeah, encouragement. Well, we need that more than anything right now. Right? I just want to remind you, we are conquerors. Okay? Our government is trying hard to take away our freedoms. They're trying. And they, in a lot of areas, they have succeeded. But you know what? They can't never take away our faith.
Amen.
Mm-mm. Ain't gonna happen. The faith message works. Everything that can be shaken will be shaken. With that, how did he get, okay. So we have the word. We have the name of Jesus. We have prayer. And you know what they also have forgotten, government? We have faith. We have faith in the Son of God. Faith message still works. No matter what happens, you keep on serving with your whole heart and stand on the Word of God. I'm going to remind you, because you cannot be a part-time Christian and take on a full-time devil. Cannot. So we're living in a time that's different than any other time in history. God has awakened His ecclesia and is rising up leaders who will be bold as lions for the challenges that we are facing. See, God is doing new things, introducing new ideas and plans into our nation and the earth. Are you going to allow Him to use you to accomplish His purpose? See, that's the question. Will you fight the good fight of faith? Are you going to suit up with the full armor of God? In Ephesians 6, starting at 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17, it goes through the armor of God. Are you going to suit up? But then I want to pick out, though, in verse 18. What's it say right there? Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. He has given us everything we need. Well, did you get that last year, though? In the Spirit. Because in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, which is a promise from God, and it says, Acts 1, 8, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Power. Power here is the Greek word dunamis. You know what it means right here? Miracle working power. Some of you are all saying, with what's going on, we're going to need a miracle. Praying always with all power and supplication in the Spirit. Our prayers are powerful. Our prayers are accomplishing much. Because we pray in faith. Believing that when we pray, we receive. And if we do, then we have it. And then what do? You move on to thank you. A grateful heart. Heart full of thanksgiving and praise. You know, from the very beginning of creation and in His covenant with Abraham and the Israelites, God decided what he wanted, and then he spoke what he wanted it to come from. In Isaiah 51, verses 1 through 3, listen to me, all who hope for deliverance. All who hope for deliverance. Well, we know what hope means, so all who expect deliverance. Hope here is the word expect. Who seek the Lord. There's a key, who seek the Lord. And if we diligently seek the Lord, He will reward those who diligently seek Him. Consider the quarry from which you are mined, the rock from which you were cut. Yes, think about your ancestors, Abraham and Sarah, from whom you came. You worry at being so small and few, but Abraham was only one when I called him. But when I blessed him, he became a great nation. We were 13 colonies. And when God blessed those 13 colonies, we became a nation. Verse 3, and the Lord will bless Israel again. Okay? How about this? And the Lord will make America great again. And make her deserts blossom, and her barren wilderness will become as beautiful as the Garden of Eden. Joy and gladness will be found in her thanksgiving and the sound of singing praises. Now, when you jump down to verse 16 there in Isaiah 51, it says, and I have put my words in your mouth and hidden you safely within my hand. Wow. His words, he put them in your mouth to speak. But he's also hidden you in his hand. And ain't no devil going to be able to pry that hand open to get you out of there. It says, I planted the stars in place and molded all the earth. I am the one who says to Israel, you are mine. How about this? I am the one who says to America, you are mine. America shall be saved. Why? Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, whose people He has chosen as His own. There's more of us than there are of them. That's all I'm going to say. Now, in this passage of Isaiah 51, we learn a couple of things. First, every seemingly new thought or idea, even the calling of the nation of Israel, that God speaks into the world was accomplished in the Spirit first. Second, God speaks that idea or thought into existence either directly or through His people. One other one that I don't want you to miss here, because those are important, but and Abraham was only one person, but much came from his faithfulness. Together, if we remain faithful to Him, think what God can do through us. United together in one passion to serve the Lord and work His plans and purposes for our lives and our nation, we will accomplish much for Him. We are His legs and His hands. and we aren't His voice. Yes, we're His voice to this world. A lot of people, though, they always want to take credit for the new ideas. But that's pride. In Job 32, verse 8, Amplified Classic, but there is a vital force, a spirit of intelligence in man. And the breath of God Almighty gives men understanding. Only God deserves the credit for His original thoughts, not us. We were not made to create original thoughts. We were made to receive God's thoughts. We're created to receive and live out or fulfill those thoughts. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you," says the Lord, "thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." Now, thoughts are plans, okay? But the original translation says thoughts when we say plans. But thoughts. In Genesis 37, we have an example of this regarding Joseph. God spoke His thoughts to Joseph through a dream. God had a plan to do something new, and He chose Joseph as the person He wanted that plan to come through. And His word came to pass, did it not? He became second only to Pharaoh. And because of him, a nation was saved. God, He only called Abraham at one time. Now He's calling what He says is His ecclesia. My, if we do what He tells us to do, we will take back this nation for Him. You think the people just thought of coming over and starting this nation, a nation to be free? No, God gave them the thoughts, gave them the dream, gave them the hope, the expectation of something that could happen, something great would happen. And it did. And then Satan's moving in and he doesn't like it. He's never liked it. Time and time again, though, in Scripture, we read of the power of God's creative word. We see how God created with His words and how He calls us to use His words because the word works. And He wants us to work His word, to bring about His plans. If you get in line with His plans, the things you're looking for, they're going to be there for you. In Genesis chapter 1, we learn that God spoke creation into existence. God then, in turn, gave Adam words to speak to manage the earth. Adam used God's words to fulfill the Lord's plans for the earth. I'm not going to read it. We've read that so many times, but you know, for the sake of everything that we wanted to get in, Holy Spirit, to make sure we brought that to your attention. But also, you know, 99% of what Jesus did was accomplished with words too. Example, Mark chapter 1, verses 40 through 41. On one occasion, a leper came and threw himself down in front of Jesus, pleading for his healing, saying, "You have the power to heal me right now, if only you really want to." Being deeply moved with tender compassion, Jesus reached out and touched the skin of the leper and said to him, "Of course I want you to be healed. So now be cleansed." Leprosy was gone immediately. But I don't think that was all that was gone. Just my perception. When he cleansed him, everything that was impure and not to be in that body was gone. But I want you to notice the word compassion. Compassion. That is an intense emotion. And now some of the Greek manuscripts have it as Jesus was moved with anger at the leprosy, not the man. However, the Aramaic is clearly moved with compassion. The two Aramaic words for anger and compassion are written almost identically. Perhaps both, though, are correct. Listen with me. Jesus was deeply moved with compassion toward the man and angry at the disease. Have you ever felt like that? Same way at a time or two? But yes, I know. It says Jesus touched a leper. But he also spoke to him. And it was Jesus' spoken words that brought about the result. Lay your hands on all you want. But until you open and speak the word, ain't nothing going to happen. And just because someone's in an offer, you can't see them. In faith, you can reach out with your hands. And you pray over them, and you pray God's word over them. There's no distance between that. God, it's the word. It's the word. So there, we're back again. The words. Satan works overtime to try to prevent God's word from fulfilling its intended purposes. The brother uses this one a lot. I'm just telling you. Mark 4, 14 to 15, which you all know when you get into Mark 4, you're talking about the sowing and the sower. Well, it says here in verse 14, the sower sows the seed word. That seed here is word. So we're going to call it seed word. The sower sows the seed word. The ones along the path are those who have the word, the seed word, sown in their hearts. But when they hear, Satan comes immediately and steals away the word which is sown in them. Immediately comes. What did Jesus even say in John 10:10? The thief cometh not but to steal, kill, and destroy. What's the first thing he can do before he can kill? Steal you? Steal the word from you. If he can steal the word, he's got both feet in the door. Satan comes immediately. He doesn't want the seed word to have the opportunity to germinate. He doesn't want it to start to take root. His goal is to get that seed up so you won't believe it. He knows if you believe the word, it's going to release virtue that's going to cause a performance of what was promised, which means it's going to come to pass. How about Mary? Mary is an example of someone who believed the word. And the result was what? The birth of Jesus and the fulfillment of prophecy. And how does prophecy come? Through the word of the Messiah. The Messiah's arrival. I know it's not Christmas, but I'm going to read it anyhow. It's Luke 1, 35 through 38. And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also, the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now, indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible. Then Mary said, Behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. And at that time is when the glory came over her and overshadowed her. You know the other time that the glory came and overshadowed? Was it the Mount of Transfiguration? That same shadow, that glory cloud. Hallelujah. Now, in the Passion Translation, it names the angel right out. Gabriel. The messenger, Gabriel, answered. The Spirit of Holiness will fall upon you, and Almighty God will spread His shadow of power over you in a cloud of glory. This is why the child born to you will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. What's more, your aged aunt, Elizabeth, has also become pregnant with a son. They didn't need a sonogram back then. Praise God. The barren one is now in her sixth month. Not one promise from God is empty of power. He blesses the womb, I'm just telling you. For those that are believing for a child, expect it to happen. Expect it to happen. It will be happening. It's promised you. It's in Deuteronomy 28. Read it. The fruit of your womb. Hallelujah. It goes on to say, and nothing is impossible with God. But now, this can also be translated. Are you ready for this? The word of God will never fail. It will never fail. Then Mary responded saying, Yes, I will be the mother for the Lord. As His servant, I accept whatever He has for me. May everything you have told me come to pass. And the angel left her. When we believe the word and the promises of God, like Mary did, God's virtue is released to produce the performance of the promise. The result will be out of the ordinary, unprecedented, revolutionary. This nation was birthed on the Word. And it was the same thing happened. In that birth, what happened? A revolution. It was revolutionary what He did. Get the concept? This is God's nation. So shall my word be that goeth forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please. And it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. The Septuagint. That is the way back beginning Greek, okay, breakdown. It has a phrase not found in the Hebrew. And you know what that phrase is at the end of this? And I will make your ways prosperous. Mm-hmm. Our ways will be prosperous as we are obedient to His word. No matter what we are facing right now, our battle might not be over. But let me remind you, it's already been won. God will never give up on you. Never. And will instead anoint you with strength to help overcome the powers of darkness that are trying to defeat you. Greater is the Spirit that is in you than the spirit that is in the world. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. New Living Translation, same scripture. Ready for this? Because this is for you guys. For every child of God defeats this evil world. I like that. Every child of God defeats this evil world and will achieve the victory through our faith. Through our faith. Our faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God Almighty. Yeah, who died for us. Okay, the one who overcomes the world. Okay, my brother again. Obeys God rather than following the expectations and unconstitutional mandates of a corrupt government and world. Need I say more? No, I know. That's God speaking. I don't have to add to it. No matter how bleak the circumstances, God's power in you will prevail. What heaven starts, hell cannot stop. The gates of hell will not prevail against the church. Jesus said that. We are the ecclesia. An ecclesia is made up by me and you, people, human beings. So the gates of hell will not prevail against us. Nothing is finished until God declares it's finished. You hear that, Tim? That's what he said of a flow of grace. I'm not finished. I'm still perfecting to perfection. Hallelujah. Yeah, where's Tim? Oh, this is Tim's opportunity because of the way his schedule is. He gets to go down to Children's Hospital to see his grandbaby. Now, God bless him. Hallelujah, Jesus. In Job 22:28, you will also declare a matter, and it will be established unto you. Okay? I'm going to declare this morning. Ready for this? When future believers write about our generation, our time in history, they will not say, this was a generation of Jezebel, Ahab, or Baal. They will say, this was the generation when blood-washed, Holy Spirit-filled, devil-rebuking, demon-binding, grace-filled, righteous-living men and women of Jesus' ecclesia stood up and made a stand. Hallelujah. That's what I declare. We will be remembered as overcomers because of those who are of God. Always win. Always win. Overcomers always win. The most powerful spirit on the planet today is not the spirit of consumerism or greed. It is not the spirit of influence or affluence. It is not the spirit of fear or intimidation. The most powerful spirit on the planet was and still is, back then and right now, and will always be, the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. We might face trials and tribulations. We may endure storms and setbacks. But we will never, never, never be defeated. We may experience discomfort, distress, and debilitation. But our joy and peace will never cease. If you have the Spirit, then you will speak as if you have Him. If you have the Spirit, then you will praise as if you have Him. If you have the Spirit, then you will worship as if you have Him. If you have the Spirit, then you will fight as if you have Him. If you have the Spirit, then you will pray as if you have Him. If you have the Spirit, then you will rebuke the devil as if you have Him. If you have the Spirit, then everything about your life is in Him and through Him and by His power. Here is the truth about overcoming the struggles we face. When we are washed by the blood of the Lamb, when we are forgiven through Christ's death on the cross, when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, when Jesus is Lord and Savior of your life, then you are not who you used to be. What's your favorite scripture at the jail? 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You are a new creation in Christ. And that's where Romans 8:37 comes in. We are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ who loved us. You are not an eternal victim. You are not the devil's punching bag. You are not cursed. In fact, you've been redeemed from the curse. You're not defeated. No. You walk in triumphant victory in Christ. It means you're a winner. You are not a loser. We're not losers. You got Jesus, you're a winner. That's why that speaks to me. Real men love Jesus. And they're not ashamed to say that either. It is no longer about our abilities or capabilities. We no longer face our own limitations or qualifications others try to impose on us. We no longer rely on our own strength because we understand that the unlimited, infinite, and eternal power of the great I Am is in us. He is in you. His Spirit. Greater is the Spirit that is in you. I Am Spirit. Do you know that? He said that Him. I Am the great I Am. We are overcomers. Yes, we can overcome. Wait. Yes, you can overcome. Individually, you overcome. Together, we really overcome. Your prayers are mighty, but when you pray in a big group, oh, is that prayer powerful? Hallelujah. See you Wednesday night. Hallelujah. The Bible, though, is not a book of perfect people, is it? The Bible is not a historical categorization of pristine, unblemished, stainless saints. No. Without a doubt, from Genesis to Revelations, the Bible is a book of overcomers. Really? Yeah. Here's some of the most famous of the faithful and what they overcame. I brought it down, but there's a lot. Okay. Abraham overcame the deceit of others as well as his own lies. Joseph overcame the pit and betrayal of his own brothers. Moses overcame Pharaoh, his temper, and his past. Joseph overcame the Amalekites, the disobedience of his troops, and his fear of being alone when his mentor died. Gideon overcame the threshing floor and his insecurities. Samson overcame his pride, his lack of respect for the anointing, and Delilah's deception. David overcame a bear, a lion, a giant, Saul's spear, in his own moral triptude. And that considered a lot of things. He plotted murder, adultery. He had to overcome those. Elijah overcame Jezebel. Elisha overcame famine and siege. Esther overcame the haters. David overcame the lions. The Hebrew boys overcame the furnace. Job overcame the loss of all he had, except his wife and his life. I ain't going there. Peter overcame the cursing of his blessing. Paul overcame the shipwreck and the snake. And Jesus overcame darkness, death, and defeat. Jesus overcame everything. Everything. And he overcame it for you and me. We too will overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Amen. And with that, let's take communion in the honor of the Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.